Blog Talk Radio.
Yes. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Thank you for tuning in to Locker Talk with Barry Barnes on the Bachelor News Radio Network, where you truly will hear about NFL stars of tomorrow, today. Again, my name is Barry Barnes, proud host of this fantastic show, part of this great network, Bachelor News Radio Network. And you got to always go to check out my publication at locker-report.com to find out more content on the NFL that I will guarantee that you will not hear anywhere else. I hope everyone made it to their destination safe this morning, that everything is well at home, and thank you for tuning in to listening to the biggest thing in the nation no one heard of yet. But today, ushering in week 10 of the NFL, a lot of stuff to get to today, some things to touch on. What happened? Excuse me. Last week, in the NFL week 9, everything in regards to the players that came through the NFL regional combine platform. So some good stuff to talk about, some players to break some stuff down, but we're gonna get right into it with what some stuff to look for towards this weekend. So for all you NFL nerds like myself that love this game, that like to know about the history, certain things to, you know, milestones to look for, that if you're really into that, this right here is a great segment to listen to. So get your pens and paper out right now. And we're going to start with the Arizona Cardinals rookie quarterback, Kyle Murray. Kyle Murray leads all NFC rookies in passing yards with 2,229 yards and a passing rating of 89.2, which ranks among all quarterbacks with 313 rushing yards to go along with his stats that he has. He's right behind Lamar Jackson as far as rushing quarterback in the NFL with 313 rushing yards. Earlier this season, Kyle, as we all know, was selected number one overall in the 2019 NFL draft, and he became the second quarterback to pass for at least 300 yards in each of his first two career games in NFL history. Now, Sunday against the Tampa Bay Bucks, Murray needs 271 passing yards to join Deshaun Watson during his 2017 campaign, Cam Newton in 2011, and Dante Culpepper in 2000 as the only quarterbacks with at least 2,500 passing yards and 250 rushing yards in their first 10 career starts in NFL history. So he's going to join some great company, far as with quarterbacks, you know, also to say good African American quarterbacks that has really helped change the game and open doors for this young man to be able to excel on this level. So that was really great. So good news to watch out for, to see what if Kyle Murray can eclipse that this weekend going against the Bucks. Now, we all know Matthew Stafford, quarterback of the Detroit Lions, how great of a gunslinger that he really is. Now, earlier this season, he became the first quarterback in NFL history to reach 40,000 career passing yards in fewest of 150 games. Over the past 3 weeks, Stafford led the NFL in passing yards with 1,112 and passing touchdowns of 10. And he has passed for at least 300 yards and 3 touchdowns in each of his past 3 games. Now, appearing in his 150th career game on Sunday against the Chicago Bears, Stafford needs at least 300 passing yards and 300 touchdowns to tie Pro Football Hall of Famer Kurt Warner for the fourth most games with at least 300 passing yards and 3 touchdowns in the player's first 150 career games in NFL history. So that's going to be some good company to join in. Not saying that Stafford is going to be a Hall of Fame player. He definitely has, I would say, had Hall of Fame potential. His story is not over yet. He's still pretty much in his prime. Anything can happen within the next couple of years, whether if he wins a couple of titles. Anything is possible. But as far as with his numbers, he's definitely on track, and that cannot be denied. So you definitely want to recognize Matthew Stafford this morning. Now, Carolina Panthers running back Christian McCaffrey leads the NFL with 1,244 scrimmage yards through 8 games this season and joined Pro Football Hall of Fame Jim Brown as the only players to have at least 150 scrimmage yards and a touchdown in 6 of their team's first 8 games in the season in NFL history. Jim Brown eclipsed this in 1963 with 156 scrimmage yards on Sunday against the Green Bay Packers. And that snow, the field should be cleared up for him, but it's going to definitely be frigid. McCaffrey will become the fourth player in NFL history with at least 1,400 scrimmage yards in their team's first 9 games of the season, joining Pro Football Hall of Famer Jim Brown, O.J. Simpson, as well as Larry Brown, the players with the most scrimmage yards through the team's first 9 games of NFL season history, where he will be joining some solid company along there as well. Okay, so there were some of the things to talk about, to look for heading into week 10 of the NFL. And now before we talk about with the players from the NFL Regional Combine, which what this show is all predicated about, which is fantastic, which I love the most, we're going to dip back into what happened with the players from the RC last week in the NFL. And it was some great stuff. Now, last week before the show, I talked about several players to watch out for in their matchups as they go head-to-head. And they did not disappoint. And definitely to start off with Nick Needham, who's a rookie cornerback for the Miami Dolphins. Yes, the Miami Dolphins won their first game last week, which is, you know, finally get this nod off. I know that the players finally excited to move forward from that to now to really jump-start their season. Not saying they want to go to the playoffs. Can they do great things, great things in terms of building towards next year, knowing who they have and how they're going to move forward? Absolutely. So for the rest of the season, Miami will continue to play, will start that spoiler role, because one thing that the Dolphins will do, and Fitzpatrick is an example of that, how this team is going to play hard and they will not give up. And that's what happened last week when they faced the New York Jets. Now, Nick, needing him, what he was able to do, he led the Dolphins in tackles last week with 9. Actually just went crazy on that field last week, laying a lot of wood against the Giants receivers and their players. And he also got his first NFL sack, which came in the fourth quarter with 11 minutes and 2 seconds remaining left in the regulation. And what happened was he was lined up on the edge when the ball snapped. Sam Donaldson didn't even see him coming towards his blind side. As a matter of fact, Le'Veon Bell went to his left. Everything shifted to the left. And here come Nick flying straight, clean, right off the line, showing that he was – now, that's a funny part. He was showing blitz because he was stacked up on the line on the edge. And as soon as the ball snapped, he went in like a heat-seeking missile and laid out Donald down to the turf. So that was a great game from Nick, considering that he started off this season – on the practice squad, and since he was activated a couple of weeks ago, last week was his third start in the NFL, and the Dolphins are recognizing a little change in their secondary, which was weak coming into the season. They still have some things, you know, to put together. They still far from being a finished product, but they definitely on the right path, and they also have the right young players to help move them forward and towards the future. So great game from Nenaham. Now, also in that game, Nick had to go up against right across the man-to-man against Vincent Smith. Vincent Smith, a wide receiver for the New York Jets. And one of the things that Nick had played a lot, he played a lot of press coverage in that game. And there were, I would say, when I'm watching that game and reviewing that game, I think they actually crossed each other five times in that game. So they really didn't go head up often in that game. And Vincent Smith didn't have his, I would say, his best receiving game. He did have a big play that was called back from a holding penalty, but he was able to haul in the 17-yard pass late in the fourth quarter to help jumpstart a chance for the Jets to get back into the game. But, however, Smith showed his wheels on the kickoff return right before the halftime with a minute and 21 seconds left, where he received the ball from inside the 5-yard line, and he just took off, bounced off a couple of tacklers that were trying to defend him, and he took the ball to the field for 78 yards, and he got behind the entire defense, but defensive back for the Dolphins, Stephen Parker, just so happened just to take one last shot and just dove towards Smith's legs, and Smith's foot just slightly stepped out of bounds because that was going to be a touchdown to get the Jets rocking and rolling early in that game. So that was an opportunity that Smith almost had, but he had another opportunity because he's showing the Jets that he can be a major player in this league, especially knowing that they're trying to, for some reason, get rid of Robbie Anderson. Smith could be one of those guys that can step up and become that type of player that the Jets can move forward with as they continue to rebuild their structure there. Now, also in that game, big fan of this linebacker, Brandon Copeland, who missed the first four games of the season for violating the league's substance abuse, but came back for a fourth, ready to rock and roll. He came out like gamebusters, basically, in that game. He played a couple of games already, looked really good, but he really made his staple Sunday when he had eight tackles in that game, and he was just all over the place as a leader for them, as that Mike linebacker for the Jets. So he's definitely one of those players to definitely look out for. And then also with rookie defensive end, Kyle Phillips. He's having a quiet, productive season, number 98. Make sure you Jets fans, keep your eyes on him. I think he's going to be something special in this league as he definitely put on more weight to be able to play the position that he's playing now in the NFL. And for one of the rookies to come through the NFL Regional Combine, made the 53-man roster since day one, has really shown a lot of value to the Jets organization. So that's awesome for what Phillips is doing. Also, Kenny Moore II. You know, I talk about this young man a lot, especially last year, and then also how he was able to sign a contract during the offseason and pretty much became the highest-paid slot receiver in the league. He had himself a fantastic game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. He actually led the Colts in tackling in that game as well. This is not the first time he's done that, but he did get his first interception of the season where he actually caught the interception with 12:33 left on the clock, where he was able to catch on 3rd and 10. Caught the interception from the Colts 49-yard line and turned up the field for a 35-yard return. So with the short-handed Moore being there, Johnny on the spot, the ball actually popping off Juju Smith-Schuster's hands while he was trying to catch the pass out on a deep post. Ball bounced off his hand. That's when Moore, with Johnny on the spot, caught the pass and took it up the field and tried to make a big play out of it, which he did put the Colts in position to kick a field goal. Now, we're going to take a quick pause. We'll come back, finish up with what the rest of the guys from the NFL Regional Combine did in week 9, and then we're going to jump right into week 10. It's going to be a very different twist going to week 10. Talk about another part of football that really don't get a lot of shine. Check out Locker Talk on the Best News Radio, Best Radio Network. And welcome back to Locker Talk with Barry Barnes on the Bassa News Radio Network, where you hear about NFL stars of tomorrow. Today, I'm your host, Barry Barnes, founder and CEO of Locker-Report.com. Make sure you guys always go to that site. And if you guys ever want to shoot out a message or get in contact with me, you can always hit me on one of my social handles on Twitter at Locker_Report, Facebook, Locker-Report.com. On Instagram, LockReport100, or you can simply shoot me an email at BarryBarnes@locker-report.com. Now, for all those football heads, or better yet, even if we get to football, anyone that loves news and like to be caught up on what's going on in the world of entertainment, politics, religion, social matters, social information, anything that you want to find out, make sure you guys always tune in to the Bassa News Radio Network, where we cover everything from all aspects of life. So if you want to, you know, tickle your ear after you listen to the big networks and you hear everyone being, I would say, politically correct, but if you want to get some real insight and hear more from what the people have to say and how the people, what the people feel, not a problem. Tune into Bassa News Radio Network. You will not be disappointed. And plus, you know, I don't have it covered with sports. When you check us out on Locker Talk on the Bassa News Radio Network on Fridays from 9 to 3:30. Now, just get to the rest of the fun part. Now, wrapping up week 9 in NFL, Roy Robinson Harris, defensive end for the Chicago Bears, had 3 tackles in that game against the Philadelphia Eagles, and his counterpart on the opposite side of the ball, linebacker Kamon Crochet-Hill, he had 3 stops against the Bears in that matchup. Wide receiver Keenan Coles led his team in receiving yards with 80 off 5 receptions. That was his best output of the season. As he started the season, he really didn't get too much playing time. He do have 2 touchdowns on the season. So now it seems as though that Jacksonville finally decided, let's put this productive wide receiver back in the game and now line up more consistently like he was productive his last 2 seasons. So they're starting to use him a lot more. And for the Washington Redskins, Quentin Dunbar, who was a cornerback, and rookie linebacker Cole McCombs, both had 3 tackles against the Buffalo Bills. Now, on to week 10. I know you guys are waiting for it. Week 10, in regards to the players from the NFL Regional Combine, definitely have an intriguing matchup that most of you guys probably don't even look at towards being very intriguing. And, you know, and it comes down to special teams. The Los Angeles Rams and the Pittsburgh Steelers, believe it or not, especially with the Pittsburgh Steelers, the team is definitely in a playoff hunt. Just 2 games back from the Baltimore Ravens, who are 6-2, the Steelers sit at number 2 in their division at 4-4. Knowing that the Steelers' schedule gets somewhat a little easier as the stretch goes down, I mean, as the stretch towards the playoffs is starting to heat up right now at this point, and the Ravens' schedule gets a lot, start to get a lot tougher, and with those guys coming off a really high emotional victory over the New England Patriots last Sunday night, which was a great game, this is going to be something to watch out for. Knowing that with the Los Angeles Rams still trying to make sure they keep their head above water, the NFC, unlike last year, they are not running away with this conference like they did last year. Although they have a winning record at 5-3, They still got to keep pace with the Seattle Seahawks and the hot 49ers. We don't know how long the 49ers will sustain this excellence they play in this season. We know that the Seattle Seahawks are going to continue to roll, but in order for the Rams to stay in that playoff hunt, they definitely cannot sleep on this Pittsburgh Steelers team, which they're about to go to a situation where it's going to be a little chill compared to Los Angeles. So this game is very important for both teams. And both teams, for the most part, are pretty balanced on both sides of the ball. But what really comes down to is also special teams. And both these teams have two special punters. The Rams have an all-pro, four-time all-pro in Johnny Hecklin, and the Pittsburgh Steelers, their punter, Jordan Berry. Jordan Berry kind of struggled a little bit last year. He wasn't as consistent, but and after early last year, the Steelers brought in two punters to pretty much try to challenge him for that spot for the Steelers. But he started to really get his act together, start playing well, putting the Steelers in situations where they can defend a majority of the field. And they committed to him this offseason back in March of a two-year extension to remain a Steeler. So this season, Jordan is pretty much having his finest year this season. Right now, he ranks seventh amongst all punters in terms of average yards per attempt at 47.1 yards per boot. And he landed out of his 30 punts, 10 inside the 20, which is very good. Definitely having his best year. Definitely nowhere like definitely a 180 compared to last year, especially early in the season. And it's very important, especially knowing when Ben Roethlisberger went down in week one due to an elbow injury, which caused his season. And to know that the offense is still trying to gel, the defense is starting to really pick things up right now this time of the season, which is something that the Steelers do. This is one organization, one team. I never count out until the season is over because this team always finds its way to get itself back in form and start to really get rolling again. So a lot of confidence with the Steelers organization. That's something I have said and been on record for years. Johnny Hecklin, four-time All-Pro punter, having himself a good year as usual. Because the Rams are more dynamic in their offense, they really don't use him as much as the teams that's struggling that they always had to have that punter to come out and perform for them. Right now, with Johnny Hecklin, for what he's producing, he had 26 punts this season so far, including one for 71 yards. This dude got a cannon in his foot. And out of his 26 punts, he landed 8 of those inside the 20. He averaged around 46.2 yards in punting. So he's right up there with one of the average best in the league. And also with Johnny Hecklin, who was also a former high school quarterback, there are sometimes occasionally the Rams will have him to throw the ball. Now, he normally averaged about 2 passes a year. 2 years ago, 2017 was the year when he threw the ball when he threw the ball 4 times in that one season. But he normally averaged out 2 passes a season. And this is one of those games that I can see, knowing that the Steelers are going to be really aggressive to try to make stops. I can see this could be one of those games where Johnny Hecklin probably would throw a pass in this game to surprise the Steelers. So hopefully the Steelers will game plan against him for that. And I'm quite sure they will. But he's definitely due for a pass sometime soon. But what made these two guys very important in this game, knowing that this game is really important for both squads, is the battle of field positioning. Field positioning is going to be really key for this contest. Knowing that the Steelers are not an explosive offensive team, they do have their periods when they just show a lot of fire and show a lot of firepower. But that's something that they can't necessarily rely on for 4 quarters. So they're going to really need their defense to help slow down this Rams team to keep giving them chances. And to help their defense, they're going to need Berry to be able to help win that field, that battle, that the battle for field position in this contest, so the Steelers could have a lot of yards to defend. So it's going to be very important. And the Rams understand this. The Rams definitely one of the elite teams in the league in terms of special teams. And they know when they have to go into this game, they know that if they want to put their foot or beat down a Steelers team that's still somewhat trying to find their identity, knowing that all their big wigs and big name guys are pretty much gone or out for the season, they know the Rams have to really take advantage of them and want to pin them deep. So they know that Johnny's going to come through, help these guys have to win the battle of field positioning, which is going to be very key in this game. So, like I said, this weekend's marquee matchup comes with a twist, and it comes down to the kicking specialist that came through the NFL Regional Combine platform. You listen to Locker Talk with Barry Barnes on the Bachelor News Radio Network, where you hear about NFL stars of tomorrow today. Another matchup to watch out for, Detroit Lions wide receiver, Marvin Hall. Marvin Hall, you heard me talk about this young man during the course of the season, having his best season so far as a pro. His previous years, he was with the Atlanta Falcons, but over the summer, he was in camp with the Chicago Bears. But the Chicago Bears wound up waiving him, and the Lions picked him up right away. So this week, here we go. We got the Detroit Lions ready to go and face a division foe in Chicago. Knowing they're going to be out in some frigid weather, which is no problem. Detroit is used to that part, facing this team in that inclement weather. But this is going to be that game now, since Hall is more acclimated with the Lions in their receiving game. Now, his stats don't jump off the board. He only caught the ball 5 times this season for 201 yards. But he is the kicker. For each catch, for each pass he's caught, he averaged 40.2 yards a catch. So, and a touchdown. So that automatically tells you that when you see this young man line up on the field, the Lions is going to look to throw a bomb. And oftentimes when Hall is the target, he normally brings the ball down. So this is going to be that type of game where Hall can show to the Bears that, hey, you guys made a mistake. Right now, y'all guys lack with weapons or playmakers on the offense side of the ball. Y'all guys could have used me. I could have been a big help. But right now with a Lions team that can, as soon as they get their stuff together, I would say, that they can really help them get to the playoffs. So this could be a revenge game in Hall's mind to really show that the Bears made a mistake in releasing him, knowing the type of, I would say, abilities that he can bring to any team in the league. So this is going to be pretty much a revenge match, not a marquee match that will get a lot of notice on television, but watch out for number 11 for the Detroit Lions as he go up against his briefly former team and against the Chicago Bears. But the only thing that can help stop that from happening, if Bears defensive tackles Roy Robinson Harris and Abdul Anderson are able to get to Matthew Stafford. If these two pioneers from the RC can get to Matthew Stafford and not give him the time that he needs when Hall is on the field, I can see Stafford hooking up with Hall for a big play in this game. Hall is definitely due. He was not able to pull down a big play last week, but definitely going to look to try to make something happen this week, going up against a former team that he spent most of the summer with until they let him go. And also with your cornerback matchups, Nick Niederhan for the Miami Dolphins going up against the Indianapolis Colts, Kenny Moore II. I'm definitely going to need more from him this weekend, which he will always give, because knowing that with Jacoby Brissett out, that it may be a little hard for the Colts to move the ball down the field. So they're going to need their defense to help step up to help keep this game competitive, because the Dolphins are going to come and play hard. You guys listen to Locker Talk with Barry Barnes on the Bachelor Pad Radio Network. We hear about NFL stars of tomorrow today. And thank you guys for tuning in and listening. I hope everyone enjoyed week 10 of the NFL. I definitely will. We'll come back, talk about some good stuff with the NFL heading into week 11. And then you never know, may have a little surprise here and there. Everyone stay blessed. Make sure you guys tune in next week and stay hooked up with the Bastard News Radio Network. Hey, this is Barry Barnes, host of Locker Talk on the Bastard News Radio Network, where you hear about NFL stars of tomorrow, today. But I'm here just to do a quick rundown of week 10 of the NFL. Week 11 of the NFL. Now, we know that stats are important. We know that standings are important. But this rundown for the next 10 minutes, I'm going to give you what I consider NFL tendencies. NFL tendencies are pretty much what you can expect of certain teams to do with the NFL postseason almost right down the road. It's a couple of months away. We know the playoff race is starting to heat up. So I'm just going to do a quick rundown of the NFL tendencies for week 11 of the NFL season. Now, Thursday night, Pittsburgh Steelers go to and take on the Cleveland Browns. Divisional games have a tendency of this, no matter how good a team is or how bad another team is, it's always going to be a tough game. It's definitely going to be some sort of combatant where the team that's not expected to win is going to give that team that is expected to win a hard way to go. So this is one of the things that we look at when we look at divisional games. Now, we know that the Cleveland Browns are struggling this year. We know the Pittsburgh Steelers is fighting to stay in the hunt for the postseason. Tendencies are that when the Steelers play the Browns primetime game, knowing that with Kyle Rudolph and these guys with a little bit more balance, with a little bit more confidence in themselves, this will be a big game to watch out for to see what the Steelers can do as they invade Cleveland. Cleveland's going to play with a chip on their shoulder. They normally play good at home in prime time under lights with this new crew here. Something here to watch out for. I definitely, believe it or not, probably slot with the Browns in this game because they're at home, knowing that the Steelers had a tough game this past Sunday with the Rams. So, but I will definitely lean on the Browns. Most cases, the home team normally pulls it out on Thursday night football. Atlanta Falcons and the Panthers. Knowing that Cam Newton is done for the rest of this year, we know that now it just gives clarity for the Panthers to be able to move forward with Kyle Allen as their starting quarterback, knowing that they have to worry about looking on his shoulder about if Cam Newton comes back, they can actually move forward and concentrate. Not too much tendencies in this game. Panthers are at home. Really don't expect the Falcons to do anything and see the Panthers pulling this game out in week 11. The Lions and the Dallas Cowboys, huge game right here. NFC Lions trying to stay afloat, trying to make their postseason run. The Cowboys fighting for their division so they can be able to have their self a successful postseason run. Very, very intriguing matchup here to watch out for. This is going to be one of those big games to watch out for. Tendencies are when Matthew Stafford starts to feel that pressure, and although he's a good quarterback, but will he be able to withstand a good, strong push from the Dallas Cowboys in the second half? Lately, as we've seen with the Lions, a lot of times they will struggle late in the game, no matter if they're trying to come back or if they're trying to keep a win. When it's tight, that's when you start to see will Matthew Stafford get that Matt Ryan syndrome and all of a sudden start to freeze up and make bad decisions in that game. And then the Cowboys are going to come full force knowing that they see the light in the tunnel, that they want the division, and they know they're going to need this game to help make that happen for these guys. When we get the Miami Dolphins, they're home hosting the Buffalo Bills. I like the Miami Dolphins because they're going to play hard. And I like their quarterback play. I think the Buffalo Bills still with their defense is going to go into Miami and pull off their game. So that's going to be really interesting to watch out for. Big game of the week, Houston Texans come to Baltimore. Lamar Jackson, hot quarterback right now. Deshaun Watson, been a hot quarterback since he came into the NFL. I would say that the Ravens hope that Lamar Jackson can ultimately be the next Deshaun Watson, as Deshaun Watson is not only a good scrambling quarterback, but at the same time, he knows how to throw the ball. And that's the part where the Ravens hope that some years down the road that Lamar will be taken seriously with his throwing ability. So this is going to be that mirror matchup of what Lamar Jackson can be, because he's going to go up against the guy that I think he mirrors the most. Now, of course, Deshaun Watson don't run as fast as Lamar Jackson, but the Ravens hope that he can become that Deshaun Watson factor in Baltimore. If that happens, Baltimore's going to be really serious down the road. But I think that with this week, still on that good old hangover with beating the Patriots a couple of weeks ago, I think the Texans will come into M&T Bank Stadium with that, getting that win, which will send ripples throughout the league. When you have the Buccaneers and the Saints, believe it or not, the Saints normally have a hard time going up against the Bucs when they're on the road. So this could be one of those games that could be a trap game for the Saints. I would actually go for the Bucs in this game because their defense is playing hard. They are a tough team to play, especially on that turf. The Saints, literally for some reason, tendencies, and normally would run a little slower on that turf for some reason. Based off of that, I think I see the Bucs pulling that victory out against the Saints. Listen to NFL Tendencies with Barry Bonds of Lock It Talk on the Bachelor News Radio Network. The Vikings and the Broncos. Okay, the Broncos travel. They go to Minnesota. Minnesota know they need this game. Minnesota know this game is important, knowing that they have to make sure they keep pace with the Packers. I will take the Vikings in this matchup because they are at home. One of the best running backs is Dalvin Cook in that backfield. The Broncos do have an underrated type of defense, and also they do have a good running game. But I think that the Vikings defense, their tendencies are they actually play against the run a whole lot better when they're at home. And they definitely need that, trying to stop the Broncos running game that they have there, because the Broncos will go heavy with Lindsey in this game, knowing that they have a new quarterback in their backfield. So it's going to be something there to watch out for in this matchup. But in that game, I got the Vikings holding off in that game. The New York Jets journey to Washington to face the Redskins. This is one of those games that, hey, someone has to win. So there's no secret there. Someone has to win this game. In this game, I think the Washington Redskins will be able to pull this game off, depending on what the weather factor may be. That field can be really sloppy. That's one thing I know for sure from the times when I had covered the Washington Redskins. It's going to be something to, watch out for. Matter of fact, let me take that back. I think the Jets can actually surprise this team and walk into FedEx Field and win this game, all because I think that their running game is going to help give them the balance they need. And plus, with the Jets' defense, I think the Jets can really pull this thing off. You never know what Washington is going to do, how their quarterback situation is changing. I think I have the Jets going into Washington, going to FedEx Field, beating the Washington Redskins. 49ers and Cardinals. Cardinals journey to the 49ers. 49ers are really hot. They ain't playing no games so far. This is what they're showing. This is the game they should win. I think they will pull this win out. This would definitely be a fun game to watch. I think it's going to be a lot of high scoring in this game. Then you have the Raiders going against the Bengals. I think the Raiders, knowing that they were closing out this Coliseum, I think they're going to pull out this win against the Bengals. Their tendencies are so far with Gruden, young players playing at home. Tendencies are that when young players play at home, they come out victorious. And then you have the New England Patriots come off their bye, going to Philadelphia. Tendencies are when they come off a bye, they win. And this is the second stretch of the season for these guys to be able to pull out a victory to get their push towards the next Vince Lombardi Trophy. Bears going up against the Rams. They have the Rams in that Sunday night matchup. And then you have the Chargers and Chiefs. Chiefs, that's going to be a tough game. I hate to say it, and I'm not going to say it. I'll pick the Chiefs in this Chargers. I'm not going to look for no upsets in this game. Thank you guys for checking out NFL Tendencies with Barry Barnes, host of Locker Talk. And make sure you guys tune in to Locker Talk Friday morning, 9 to 9:30, as we talk about the players from the NFL Regional Combine, what you can expect from those guys heading in to week 11 of the NFL. May one stay blessed.